Today, we're going to talk about following the Lord, being willing to submit to His will and follow His direction, even if it means sacrificing what we have in this world. That's when following becomes difficult. It's easy to sacrifice a few hours a week, but to live for God daily and to obey His direction at all times is a challenge. Matthew received that challenge when Christ called upon him to follow, and that was the day Matthew resigned. Let's read some scriptures. Beginning in Matthew chapter 9, we'll read verse 9. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And he saith unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Then in Mark chapter 2, we read in verse 13, And he went forth again by the seaside, and all the multitude resorted unto him, and he taught them. And as he passed by, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the receipt of custom, and said unto him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. And it came to pass that as Jesus sat at meat in his house, many publicans and sinners sat also together with Jesus and his disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. And then, in the book of Luke, chapter 5, verse 27, we read, And after these things he went forth and saw a publican named Levi sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said unto him, Follow me. And he left all, rose up, and followed him. And Levi made him a great feast in his own house, and there was a great company of publicans and of others that sat down with them. The person we will consider today is Matthew. Matthew had two names, which was common amongst Jewish people. Levi may have been his family name, whereas Matthew was the name that he went by, what his friends called him. Matthew lived in Capernaum, the second most important place in Israel, behind Jerusalem. The population was estimated to be about 15,000 people. The city itself was located on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, and it was home to a large fishing industry. It was also the thoroughfare for two Roman highways, one that ran north and south, and another went east and west. These roads carried wealth: gold, silver, ivory, silk, cloth, spices, and traded goods were transported through the city. Because of this, business thrived and the city flourished. All of this made it an ideal place for the Roman Empire to collect taxes from the people. The Romans employed Jewish men to collect these taxes from their people, the Jews. And there was a determined amount to be collected, and as long as the empire received what they demanded, everything was fine. Anything taken over the fixed amount, well, that belonged to the tax collector. And many of them took advantage of the situation. It has been said that they were experts at swindling their own people. Of course, this did not sit well with the Jews, but there was nothing they could do about it. The Jewish tax collectors became wealthy off the people and were greatly despised, with most believing them to be crooked and disloyal. How bad was it? They were classified as traitors, seen as one that turned against their own people. Their money was considered tainted and rejected. Few, if any, wanted their business. their testimony was tarnished. So they were not allowed to be witnesses in a court of law. And worst of all, many were even rejected by their families, ousted and looked upon as outcasts. Well, Matthew was a tax collector. Little is said of Matthew, but there are some things we can safely conclude. First, he was educated. How much education is unknown, but enough to do his work. Second, he excelled. Matthew seemed to be good at his work. He was sitting at the receipt of custom, kind of like having a corner office. Third, he was wealthy, which explains why he could put together a large feast on short notice. Fourth, he was influential in certain circles. Amongst other tax collectors, businessmen, and the Romans. And then fifth, he was despised by his people. Being a Jewish tax collector meant he probably loved money and materials. In other words, Matthew enjoyed what the world offered and lived for it. That brings us to the problem. Matthew's calling. The Bible tells us he was busy at work, perhaps collecting taxes, or maybe just about everyday business. Maybe he noticed Jesus, perhaps heard of him, or even listened to him teach. When was Matthew saved? I don't know. We're not given the exact moment. It might have been earlier, and he continued working, or maybe that day when the Lord called. Either way, at some point, his heart was made right with God. Is your heart right with God? Is he your God? Is Jesus your Savior? If not, make things right today. Believe on Jesus and be saved. There's also something here we can learn from Matthew. God calls workers, those that are willing to work and serve. When someone is saved, their work now involves the Lord. And I believe Christians should have greater dedication for God's work than any other work. Back to the passage. Jesus stopped at Matthew's table. What a moment this must have been. Maybe he looked upon him. Matthew looked at Christ. And then Jesus called upon the tax collector to follow him. Makes you wonder what the others thought that day. Really, Lord? Him? Anybody but a tax collector? We're really going to be looked down upon. Nobody's going to respect us. This reminds us that Christ has power to change lives and to give people new direction. Well, Matthew was called, and we see in this passage his choice. Again, details are not provided, just the fact that he followed Christ. But that's enough for us to know his heart. This man that once lived for the world loved Christ enough to leave it. The Bible indicates Matthew followed immediately. There were no discussions, debates, or delays. He heard the call of Christ and left all to follow. Matthew resigned his position as a tax collector to become an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now I would like to share with you some practical thoughts concerning Matthew's response to Jesus Christ's call. First, let's consider Matthew's sacrifice. His sacrifice. He left his career and financial stability behind to follow Jesus Christ. Money and materials were not an issue. Because of his salvation, his love for God was greater than his love for the world. Matthew probably gave up more than any other disciple. The Bible tells us he left all. Well, let's consider that for a moment. What did this man leave? He left possessions. Matthew had money and items that can be purchased with money. He left those to follow Christ. How about position? Matthew had a stable occupation and office that came with it. Yet he left that to follow Christ. And power. Matthew held power over people. Those that he collected from, even though they probably disliked him, they still respected the power he had due to the Roman Empire. But also power with those that he worked with. It's likely Matthew had several others he employed in the work. He left that power to follow Jesus Christ. Prestige. Matthew was probably respected amongst other tax collectors and publicans. In the scriptures, we find that his feast was greatly attended by others. That was set aside to follow Christ. And then finally, prosperity. Matthew was financially secure. Of course, at the moment, and likely his future on earth. Yet he gave that up to follow Christ. He would trust Christ with his needs and with his future. That's a lot to give up. But Matthew's love for God made it easy and worth it. How about you? Are you willing to forsake the world to follow Christ? The Lord may not call upon you to leave all, as he did with Matthew, but if he should, are you willing to leave all to follow after him? Are you willing to sacrifice time to grow closer to God in Bible study and prayer? Are you willing to sacrifice money or possessions to give to missions so others can hear the good news of salvation? What are you willing to give up for God? Matthew was willing to give up everything. And what's interesting is that Matthew was unable to return. This decision was final. Later, when times were tough, Peter and some of the others returned to their fishing. Matthew had nowhere to go. He could not return to his position because another occupied it. So his decision to follow Christ was a great sacrifice. But I'm sure Matthew understood Christ sacrificed far more to save his soul. Next, let's consider Matthew's sincerity. His sincerity. The Bible tells us that Matthew made a feast for Christ and invited his friends. This appears to be spur of the moment, which indicates Matthew had the resources to pull off a grand feast. His possessions were now used to honor and glorify Christ. Matthew was grateful to be saved and to have a new life. and he wanted others to know Jesus as he did. Naturally, Matthew, being a tax collector, attracted other tax collectors and publicans. Also others that society despised and refused to associate with were in attendance. That didn't seem to bother Matthew or Jesus Christ, because everyone needs to hear the good news of salvation. Matthew's new life was evident. It could be seen in his conduct. He was willing to spend money for his Savior. He was willing to sacrifice for others. He lived for the Lord instead of himself. The best evidence of a publican's salvation was his generosity and hospitality. Similar to an alcoholic being sober, a drug addict being clean, a gossip being quiet, and a liar being honest. This man that loved money spent it on others with nothing in return. Matthew fit what James later spoke about. In James chapter 2, verse 17, "Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works." Matthew did not write much concerning himself. He was a humble man of God that did not lift himself up, but chose to exalt the Lord. In Proverbs chapter 27, in verse 2, it says, "Let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips." I guess Matthew was fine with the world knowing nothing about him. True service to God does not seek the attention or the applause of others. And true service to God is content with God being glorified. Lastly, Matthew's skills were used for God's glory. His skills were used for God's glory. Okay, Matthew was not a gifted orator. Nothing is said of his preaching or teaching as it is with others. Also, Matthew was not a natural leader. We never find Matthew out in front or sent on any special projects. Actually, we read very little of Matthew doing anything. But he was there, and he was faithful. So, what did Matthew have to offer? He was a man of records, exact numbers, and precise accounts. Because of his background, Matthew could read, write, and accurately record events. And that's what he did. He observed and recorded. The Lord used Matthew and his skills to collect facts and write them down to be published in the gospel that bears his name. The Lord is able to use what we have and able to work through us for his glory. So, don't be discouraged by what you do not possess. Nobody has everything, talents and gifts included. Don't be envious of others, but be grateful for what God has given you. And then be diligent with what you have to offer God. Use the natural talents you have received to glorify the Lord. And use the skills God has enabled you to gain to honor Him. Right now, I would like to encourage you to consider the gifts, talents, and skills you possess. Everyone has some. Are they being used for God's glory? How can they be used in service to God? Ask the Lord how you may use them, and look for opportunities to use your gifts for God's glory. God does not require us to do something great. He is great and able to greatly use what we willingly offer Him. In closing, Matthew was challenged to make a decision. Follow the Lord or live for the world. It's the same decision Christians are still presented with, only in different circumstances. And on that day, Matthew resigned and followed Christ.